Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen. And we welcome you to another half hour with us and a guest and a story and a love letter to follow. And we just want to say that we want you to remember that love letters are not just for romance. Love letters are your truth put to paper in a loving, compassionate way to anyone at any time and for any reason that you feel something positive, you have a thank you to say, you remember an incident with somebody that's worth repeating in an appreciative way, any kind of love at all. And we're going to go to today's guest, Brianna Lambert, who is the editor of Scout Mob, which is a San Francisco social site that many of you may know about. We're going to talk about that a little first. Brianna, will you talk about Scout Mob before you talk about you?
Absolutely. Scout Mob is very much a site that encourages locals to be better locals through many different ways, namely by offering deals with local businesses. You know, 50% off at maybe a restaurant that you're very familiar with and love, and places that you've never heard of.
So how do people take advantage of that?
Scout Mob is very mobile, so we have an app that you can download.
Oh, I see.
And
rather than a website that you want us to go to.
There's a website as well.
Why don't you
and
give
the
us
website
that?
Is awesome. The graphics are amazing. I do all the writing for it. It's scoutmob.com.
Let's spell it, because one letter off, you know, people don't get there. S-C-O-U-T-M-O-B.
Exactly.
.com.
Yep, like okay. Girl Scout and okay. Mob like Mafia. So you'll go there. The easiest way to make sure that you're always in touch with Scout Mob is to sign up for our email. So you'll get a daily email in your inbox. Every day it features the whatever local business we're featuring that day. And then there's other pieces of content, too. There's event calendars where we go through and, you know, find the coolest stuff that you absolutely should not miss out for that week or that weekend. But we're also talking to people in the community that are doing cool stuff that maybe you've never heard of and could be your neighbor, you know, and you didn't know that that person is an author when they're not
so
at their regular job.
So it sounds like it's kind of a way of being a more involved citizen of San Francisco.
Completely.
Without having to be everywhere physically at the same time, which no one can do. And since there's so much more in San Francisco than ever there used to be.
Exactly.
It's too hard to keep up with absolutely everything.
Yes. So okay. My job is to sort of be the bridge. When you're at your regular day job, my day job is to find those stories for you and then present them to you in interesting little snippets.
So if you have a friend coming to town and you want to be a good host and entertain and take somebody someplace exciting, Scout Mob would be the place to go?
Most definitely.
Or for yourself also?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a great thing for people that have just moved to the city, too, to really get that glimpse into, you know, not necessarily the newspaper's look at what the city is, but sort of that, you know, more in touch with your everyday type of person.
So that's a really good point. It used to be, I remember, you know, ages ago, that San Francisco was not such an easy place to move to. It was a little bit of a closed society. And it was hard to find your way into things. And with so many people coming to San Francisco now, to the Bay Area, it's easier to become situated.
Yeah.
And find your social place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Johnny Funcheap actually was with us once, and he does that.
Yeah.
He doesn't do what you do.
Right.
But he, through his own loneliness, developed a way for people to be part of the city.
And, you know, I've
had friends and groups and activities. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that same, you know, thinking where I've talked to people that have said, well, you know, I used to live in San Francisco or, you know, when I first moved there, I just really couldn't get into it. And I felt like it was hard meeting people.
It is.
And
it can be.
It can be. But I feel like, you know, like what Johnny did, you just got to insert yourself and, you know, say, I'm here and I want to make San Francisco my home and just really put yourself out there.
Okay, so for the...
But my question is that really different in San Francisco than it is moving to any new place?
You know, it would be hard for me to talk on that because I've really only lived, you know, moved to California to go to college and then up here to the city. College is a totally different place to meet people. And no, you know, I don't think it's just San Francisco. I think that it could happen in Chicago. It could happen
in
New York.
Any metropolitan place where
exactly.
you can get lost.
Exactly. Yes. And I think it's just all about how you take control of your own situation. And, you know, like I was saying, just really insert yourself and get out there.
Well, I like what you said. You said really insert yourself. Mm-hmm. Rather than assert yourself. That's a whole other concept,
mm-hmm.
to put yourself in. Talk about yourself and your own journey. Where are you from? How did you grow up, and how did you end up here?
Yeah, I grew up in a little town just outside of Boulder called Broomfield. It's a small town. I don't know the exact population. My family has a very deep history in the town. My grandparents helped found it. There were just a few dozen families living there when they first moved to the town. So I went to the same high school that my mom went to, that my grandma was the secretary at.
Did you have some of the same teachers as your mother did?
I think I may have had a few, but I definitely had teachers that my mom went to school with them.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, definitely always had to watch your P's and Q's because they knew exactly who my mom was. And she was a teacher, and I actually went to the elementary school where she taught. So, you know, mom was always there.
Did they have the sense not to put you in her class, or was there only one class since it was a small town?
I actually was never in her class for I don't know what reasons, but I would see her in the lunchroom and see her at recess, and it was unique, but it was fun. And I mean, it was great having mom at school, but you know, it was good in high school too to get out on my own finally. So yeah.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a half brother, who is 17. He still lives in Colorado and is plugging away at school, getting ready to go off to college. So, yeah, he's still there, which my whole family's there, so I love getting back there. And my mom lives really close to the high school that we both attended, so it's interesting to see, you know, how it's changed over the years and to have her say, oh, I remember when it looked like that, and, you know, it's totally different from when I went there. So, you know, having those roots in the city, when I was 18 and, you know, got into college at Cal Poly down in San Luis Obispo.
Now, what were you feeling that made you know that you had to leave for? What was pulling you?
Yeah. I had vacationed in California several times, so I just loved sort of the lifestyle, the weather, you know, everything.
With your parents, you'd vacation
here? Yes, exactly. And it was very popular for kids in my high school to go to CU Boulder, which is a great school. But I just felt like, you know, I had been going to school with some of the same kids from kindergarten all the way up to senior year, and felt like there was something else that I needed to go and discover. And just really felt this pull to California, you know, from the first time that we vacationed there.
And writing was important to you.
And writing, yeah, writing was very important. And so I was looking for schools where I could, you know, develop that writing, and was very much encouraged by my parents to get into more practical writing. You know, don't go for the creative writing degree. What are you going to do with that later? Why don't you, you know, go into journalism?
I think that's so often a parent's desire to keep you safe in the world.
Mm-hmm. It totally is.
Yeah.
So found, you know, Cal Poly. It was a great small school, applied, ended up getting in. So here I am taking off from this small town that we have very, you know, solid roots in. I don't know anybody at school. I actually didn't know anybody in California at the time.
Did that feel good to you, to go where you're totally anonymous?
It felt amazing. It felt really amazing, especially, like I said, just coming from this community where not only does everybody know everybody, but everybody knew me just because of family history, my mom being a teacher.
Were you aware that you could just redefine yourself somehow, or define yourself according to who you really were rather than your history?
It was something that really hadn't occurred to me before, and that's a great question, before moving. And it's not that I got to college and totally reinvented myself.
Right, I didn't mean to imply that. Yeah.
No, but, you know, just to meet people and they, you know, only have the first impressions to go off instead of,
yes,
remember in fifth grade when,
yes,
you did this, or,
yeah,
remember
rather than
when this happened?
I didn't mean redefine so much as discover, I,
mm-hmm,
guess, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it was great getting to do that completely on my own because I went to school not knowing anybody. So, you know, like I was talking before, I really had to insert myself.
Oh, yes, I want to ask you about that. So how did you do that?
Just, you know, going around and having a friendly attitude and not being shy at all and, you know, inviting myself to things that sounded interesting. And I think that when people see that you're taking the initiative, they're more open to having you be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And just showing your personality, you know, straight off the bat.
So how did you, what brought you to San Francisco then if you were at Cal Poly?
Graduated, was living down there for a while, working a job, and just felt like...
That's San Luis Obispo, right?
Yeah.
It's so beautiful down there.
Yeah. It was hard to leave. It's gorgeous, but, you know, coming mm-hmm. to San Francisco was easy. And just felt like I was a little tapped out, you know, on the area. It was... I had those college memories and kind of just wanted to keep, you know, the college memories with SLO instead of trying to extend it into a career.
So for people who have never done this or might want to do this, what's the first step? What do you do when you want to move from one city to another and find work? And how do you do that?
Well, my first goal, definitely, especially with how expensive it is to live here, was number one, I got to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, started looking for that.
Long distance, you did that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was difficult because I was traveling, you know, taking time off of my job down south to come up here and interview, meet with people. Luckily, just found an amazing job working in TV.
Oh, what did you do?
I was working on the commercials for Pro Active Solution.
Oh, what aspect did you do that? I see those commercials. They're wonderfully satisfying to watch.
They are all over TV right now. I was casting the real people and helping them tell their stories, their clear skin stories.
How interesting.
Which was amazing for me because at that time, I had been a proactive user for over 10 years.
Really?
So it was...
Now, I wish this were a television moment so you could just see this beautiful face. I'm all, okay.
Thank you. So, you know, going into journalism, I wanted to help tell stories and tell other people's stories. And through Proactive, I was able to, I mean, it really is a product that has changed lives. And so getting to sort of help people relay that was amazing.
For people who don't know what Proactive is.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Thank you, Teresa.
It is an acne solution. It's like a skincare regimen. It's been around for about as long as I've been alive. Turn on your TV and you'll probably see a commercial within 10 minutes.
Yes, I see them all the time and I am just fascinated. So you're saying we can really trust that?
Absolutely. I mean, all those real people they have actually used the product. We didn't, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. never pay testimonials. These are people that are so excited to share their story that they were willing to go on camera and, you know, talk about the dark times. And
yes.
'Cause in the end, it ended in a positive time.
Oh.
So, yeah, I was brought up to the city by that job. Mm-hmm. I feel so lucky. I mean, it was an amazing job, amazing people who I am going to dinner with two coworkers later on.
I'm so happy to hear this.
Yeah. So, and that was a great place to start mm-hmm. making friends because everybody there at the production house was just so open and welcome.
So what brought you then your next move career-wise?
Yeah, career-wise. I felt this need to write more.
Uh-huh.
And while there were some writing opportunities in the casting job,
not writing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly what I felt I needed to be doing at that time. So, you know, I kind of, I'd been there for 2 years, maybe just put my feelers out, you know, see what's going on. I'd been really out of touch as far as, you know, other jobs and that, you know, because I was just really happy in my current position. And, came across a job posting on a website called Media Bistro that's very creative focused, and the little headline slug for the job.
Do you want to give that website just in case people would like to know about
it? Yeah, it's Media Bistro, MediaBistro. Great site. They're very careful with what they allow to be posted mm-hmm. on the site, and just great for creative type jobs. So I learned about it through a best friend who was actually looking for a job at the same time, looking to move to Chicago. So, came across the little slug for the Scout Mob job and, you know, it said local editor/writer. And my first thought was, okay, as much as I trust Media Bistro, those types of jobs just don't exist, you know? So it must have been a mistake. I didn't even click on it. Days later, I was still thinking about it, went back on the site, you know, clicked through to see the entire job description. It sounded more real, so I went and checked out Scout Mob. And, you know, when you go to see the page for yourself, the graphics are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Just a really impressive design layout. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, this actually seems legit. So just kept doing some more research, you know, found out that it was a startup based in Atlanta. I really never had experience with startups before, so it was sort of new territory for me.
So you had to go in with a trusting kind of...
I did, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I decided, you know what? What do I have to lose? I'm going to, you know, revamp my resume, which was 2 years old at that point, and come up with a cover letter. And the cover letter that I came up with was so creative and out there.
Can you tell us about it?
Well, the cover letter actually had a picture of myself mm-hmm. standing in front of the Golden Gate Bridge with my arms sort of, you know, open wide and like I was presenting the bridge. And, you know,
of course, you with your arms open wide is kind of you.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
And, you know, cover letters for new jobs, you generally don't put a photo of yourself on it. And so, you know, that was kind of the beginning of the creativeness of it. And I, you know, opened it up with a little bit of a love letter, actually, to San Francisco.
Good point. So happy to hear that.
Yeah. And talked about, you know, a little bit about my experience. But the Scout Mob job was so local focused and so about San Francisco that I just really wanted to show, you know, the people at Scout Mob how much I love this city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, talked a little bit about my past experiences and why I felt I, you know, was even like a candidate for the job. And ended with a reference to this story that I had recently read on SF Gate about this man whose name totally escapes me right now. His goal was to walk every street in the city.
Oh, and I read about that on Scout Mob.
Yes,
I did. Yeah.
I later interviewed a woman who was undertaking uh-huh. the same project. And, you know, it was just his journey was amazing to me and something that, you know, one day I would love to do. So sent the cover letter and the resume off and thought either they're really going to love it and this is going to be, you know, the right job and the right fit for me, or they're going to think I'm a complete lunatic and throw it away, which is totally fine. Ended up getting an email from one of the co-founders, mm-hmm. Dave, who asked for a phone interview. And I, you know, I'm in shock. This is the first and only job that I'd applied to when I decided to really put my feelers out.
By the way, I just want to say, you decided to put your feelers out, but first you decided to put your feelings out.
Totally. Yes.
And in a way, that was kind of a not so unusual response to a love letter, which is an enthusiastic,
mm-hmm.
where are you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so had a phone conversation with him, and it was a great conversation, learning more about Scout Mob. I wanted to be a part of it so badly.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
I like this whole story.
It just was, you know.
This is a success story based on openness.
Absolutely.
So who would get your love letter today? You have to write one right now
mm-hmm.
because you've been through many stages, and I can see that a lot of people have touched your life and made it good.
Yeah.
So who would get your love letter today and why?
Well, even though you ask who, I can still say that San Francisco would be the person.
Okay.
And I really do feel sometimes that San Francisco is a person to me.
Well, okay, yeah, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because when you're describing your own journey, it sounds, and that you like to do what this woman did, walk every street, it sounds like you are, and give other people the opportunity to be such an organic part of the city. It's not you and the city, it's the two of you together, kind of as one living creature.
Yeah.
So what do you want to say to San Francisco?
I'm
going to take notes for you.
Okay, great. I need help writing this because I still have scattered thoughts because I feel like it's still a story in progress.
That's right. And a love letter is exactly the same. You have to get your thoughts down before a good love letter is a combination of passion and planning.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
And I have a lot of passion. So I'm glad you're helping me with the planning.
Okay, go ahead. What is it you want to say?
I think I would start by saying thank you, first of all. I think that my love letter is a big thank you to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You know, having come from a small town and spending time in San Luis at college, San Francisco was really the first place that I felt I was home, which mm-hmm. is a little weird to say because my family is still in Colorado. I don't have any blood relatives here in the city. But
what makes you feel that? What about San Francisco specifically makes your soul feel settled?
You know, that's a good question, and I think I'm still sort of developing the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's that I've been made to feel so welcome. And, you know, there's many, many different points to that. I think foremost, it's that really anything goes here.
Okay.
No one's judging.
Oh. So you sent a cover letter,
mm-hmm.
and you allowed San Francisco and the forces that be to call you either a lunatic or valuable.
Yep.
Okay.
I completely put myself out there, and this goes back to really inserting yourself. And if you take that initiative and just get out there and let people know, I want to be a part of this, you'll be accepted. You know, you can't sit at home in your apartment and expect someone to come knocking on the door and ask you to come be involved in this, come here, come there. You got to go get it. And I felt like as soon as I moved here, I really started doing that. And, you know, once you meet one person, they'll gladly introduce you to their group of friends. You find people within that group that you relate to. They're inviting you to events and introducing you to other people. And so, I mean, my social circle is just growing and growing and growing, especially with the Scout Mob job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love the fact that I can go up. And the way that I met you two
yes.
is, you know, hey, you're doing something awesome and interesting, and I want to learn more about it. And getting to, one, learn that story for myself and see this other element of San Francisco and this...
So Scout Mob allows you to approach with a good and selfless reason.
Absolutely. Selfless, but also selfish, because
yes,
I love
yes.
learning about these different sort of things that are going on in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
and what helped make it the city that it is.
Don't you find that being curious about other people is so rare that when you express interest in someone and their job and what they're doing, that they're just astonished?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, before I had the job with Scout Mob, there was so much that I was curious about. But I felt like, you know, I didn't want to be creepy by going up to people and saying, hey, what you're doing is so interesting. I just want to hear more about it.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, kind of gave me that excuse and gave me that invitation. And I have never been shot down asking someone for an interview, mm-hmm. you know, after explaining who I am, where I'm coming from, and why I'm interested in what you're doing.
But you also have a lovely quirk to your personality, because I remember the email that you sent us, and You are naturally so enthusiastic about other people.
Thank you. And it's
that comes,
genuine.
I know it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. So that comes through and that helps. But San Francisco evidently is a place that let you blossom
yes.
as the person you really are. It seems to me that you're saying that.
Yes. I have never felt that I needed to filter myself here or, you know, not put my full self out there. I mean, this is the place to just really, like you said, let yourself blossom and show people the real you.
So I have a question. We have a few minutes left,
mm-hmm.
and I can see that the planning of this is going to be an ongoing procedure,
yes.
an ongoing process. You're not going to be able to write a love letter of this kind in one sitting because tomorrow's a new day and we'll bring you new things.
Yes.
I'm thinking, I have a thought I like, because I guess we usually tend to like our own thoughts, but what if you did this regularly? What if you wrote every 6 months a love letter to San Francisco?
I love that idea.
As your own history.
I love it.
Me too.
Yes.
Now who will you send it to? We say if a letter's not sent, a love letter has to be stamped and mailed.
Yeah. That's a
obvious.
Great question. I think if there was any way that I could send it back to myself.
Yes, that's it. That's it. And there is a way. That same 44-cent stamp
yeah.
is the way.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. So you address it to yourself, and you do just everything that you would do in a love letter. You choose beautiful stationery. I know that means something to you.
Yes.
I can see by the look in your eye.
Yes.
And you may feel different every 6 months. You may want to find stationery with the Golden Gate Bridge on it, the first one. You may want to do just as your own history goes. And you can open them and read them and keep them with the envelopes and the postmark in a treasure box.
I love that idea.
They have beautiful boxes at stationery stores now.
Yeah.
I think that would be such a wonderful thing for you to do. And you're young,
mm-hmm.
and years go quickly, and in 10 years you might want to know what you felt and where you were.
Oh, my God. When I think about the 2.5 years that I've spent here already, it's just a blip in time to me.
Yes, it is.
And I've done so much already, and I love the 6 months idea because life moves so quickly here, especially mm-hmm. my life right now, that, I mean, I feel like life was completely different 6 months ago. I wasn't even at Scout Mob. I was in a totally different place.
And you discover new things about yourself and about San Francisco and about people who were important to you. And
yes.
Okay.
I love that idea a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I would love to share it with you guys someday in the future. That would be an amazing look back.
We'd love you to. Awesome. We'd love to have people come back.
Yeah.
And talk again more about life. And
that would be incredible.
Okay. Thank you, dear, so much.
Thank you.
For doing this with us.
You are very welcome.
And thank you for specifying what you do when you move to a new town. I think that can be really daunting for people. Do you get an apartment first? Do you get a job? What do you do when you come and you're lonely and you don't know anybody? And I agree with you. I think when you put yourself out, everybody wants to feel welcome and attractive.
Yes.
And if you're the one who's new, that doesn't mean you can't make others feel welcome.
Absolutely.
Because what you're doing is making them feel welcome into your life.
Yeah.
Wanting very to get to appealing.
Know them. Yes. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
No, I wanted to add something. As the mother of a daughter who moved off to New York City and loves it and would never think of living anyplace else, if she were to send me letters about how much she loves New York City, I would love to hear that because I'm a person that wants her daughter to be happy. And I certainly would keep those letters. Mm-hmm. So I think sending the letters to yourself is a great idea, but maybe a copy to your parents, who I can tell by looking at you that they're the kind of parents that want what makes you happy for you.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea
as
well. And I think, you know, especially for my mom, because she did struggle with, you know, here I am. Thanks, Mom. I'm moving now.
Yep.
So to let her see, you know, the life that I've created here. And like I said before, I don't have blood family here, but I have a very tight family of people who are now my family here in San Francisco. And she would be comforted by reading those letters and seeing that.
And a chance to share your writing.
Yes, which she loves.
Yes.
And I love sharing it with her, too. Like you were saying, I mean, writing is such a gift, and especially when it comes to love letters.
So, Brianna, again, thank you so much. We loved having you on the show. Hope you'll return.
Absolutely.
And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us today. We hope you'll join us every week at this time. And we encourage you always to put your loving thoughts into words, write them down, put them in a letter, stamp them, and mail them while you still have the chance.
Yes. And remember, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So, till next time, this is Teresa
and Janet
saying bye-bye.
Bye.